Jere, kurti šena.
Very exciting sport that is almost popular everywhere in the world now. And I think
A very conducive environment should be created for interaction in a manner of not yelling to each other and then talking really to ensure that the dialogue about transformation is off is what really we wanted to do. And then we think that we should do that so that we shouldn't do that. I think that is because all that is now preparing 2020, and then with your experience, we hope that we'll be able to have a very successful 2018. That is the wooden plan. Anyway, when the Cosmos plays, every time will be 20 support. I'm not sure what happened to us all, but it used to be a very big play. I can find that point down for you. That club and play that plays 200 spectators are many. And then, but all of us, we have all the something gone somewhere that we must work together to ensure that this starts to resolve it. Predicated is very useful for us, and then politics is very useful, but I think in terms of sports is very useful. Therefore, engaging on these areas that are very good for us. The point that I'm appealing to that you must never find a situation where there are unnecessary tensions between a committee of parliament and those who are running federation. And then because we are located in various different areas. We are located to run the federation. We are located to run the country, therefore make the laws of the country. Therefore, there must be healthy tension. Because we put a lot of pressure on you. In fact, I think I was saying to Inkosi Mponyane, because soccer is the most popular sport, we are going to put more pressure on soccer. Not any other reason, that we are capable of doing things fine. We are capable of doing things, but there's no need to kick anyone who has no capacity to do it. But I think soccer got the capacity to transform society, to add really in transformation of the society. And then that's why I really need soccer and Adam in the top three. We are going to be a little bit harsher on you, with no intention to do anything except to say we are capable to do things better. Therefore, we must do things better. And there's no reason why we can't be the best elite in the world. You know, we have everything in general. The point that we are raising is that we should work on that. That's purely strange. And then when we make you end, we must know that you are doing that precisely because you have the capacity to do it far better than that. And this is the point that we want to raise. And really, thank you for coming. We'll allow Robin. I think we are going to take us wherever we're going to do that. But for formality, it raises important points for that to say. Because we have accepted our invitation. By the fact, we know you as individuals, but I think in the formal meeting, we must allow you also to introduce yourself. Can I request you to introduce me?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of Parliament, my own colleagues. Chair, let me start by appreciating and thanking you for having invited us to come this morning to do a presentation on issues pertaining to football development and of course a clear update on 2013 AFCON and our preparation of Banyana Banyana towards the Olympic 2012, which is around the corner. And of course to interact with your honorable selves on what we are doing on the ground. And I must also appreciate your remarks on the importance of football and the role that football can play in building our society. And I must agree with you that indeed football is a very powerful tool. Some call it the university of life, the school of life, because it has that power, like you said, that could begin to enhance the manner in which society lives going forward. And it has the power to can address the many social issues that are out there. As we talk today, many of our youngsters are deep in alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and those are the issues that society at times is unable to address, but using this power that the sport has to take them away from the state, because any young child who is in sport is a child away from jail, because they begin to utilize their time constructively. And not only that, I was reading the stats about the obesity of our own society. We are somewhere at 61%, which is really alarming. Yes. And that on its own is a serious expense for our own budget in terms of health. Not only that, even for productivity. Because if you are not healthy, obviously it affects your productivity. Your level of absenteeism is high. You have cited a very interesting point about the correlation between sports excellence and educational performance. Clearly, any child who excels in the sport field is now bound by that status to want to excel in the classroom, because you don't want to be dragged behind. And that also applies to productivity in a working environment. Once the nation is healthy, surely our production will go high. And we want to accept this challenge that you have put to us to say, we need to reach out. And that's what we are doing. We know the country has a lot of challenges in as far as sports are concerned. And we have gone a mile already in this respect by putting this infrastructure's artificial turf. But it's a drop in the ocean. It can't make much difference. And of course, from your side, obviously we need that emphasis to begin to emphasize to our own municipalities to ensure that they need to reach out with the MIC grant to begin to put those facilities together. Of course, it's a challenge. It's competing amongst many other demands that are out on the ground. And further to that, Chair, let me also indicate that not long, you might have seen the announcement that FIFA has finally allocated us an amount of $450 million that will focus on issues related to football. But that does not substitute what we're doing at SAFA, because this fund has a board of trustees that will then look at the application as a way of wanting to make an impact towards the development of the game. We are taking the challenge head on. It's not going to be easy. However, we believe with everyone coming on board, we should be able to address that. And of course, corporate South Africa need to come on board, because we cannot change the manner in which society lives without everyone playing a part. And I think, like you said, this country has what it takes. All we need is just a mind change and focus to say, what is important for the country? Can we utilize this powerful spot to change the mindset? Can we use it to reach out where we can't reach out? We always say this country has a lot of prisons, and we must turn those prisons to become sports centers rather than prisons to keep those juveniles. And sport can be able to do that. Another important issue is football itself has one big challenge. Those that excel in the sport tend to ignore education, which is a very, very serious challenge. And of course, the lifespan of a football player is very short. And when their career ends, they end up in the street. And it's a very, very painful challenge that we are facing. We hope with time working with the player union, we might be able to turn that around. I just thought I should make that comment whilst appreciating the chance you've given us. And I remember back on the 8th of November 2011, we were here, where we gave you our vision, and of course the progress we're making on the School of Excellence, the Women Development and Grassroots Program that we have started, which we believe is one way in which going forward our football may be turned around. And of course our submission today will focus on those issues that I've highlighted as you have requested. And let me take this opportunity to introduce our team. Of course, I'll start with our Vice President, the Honorable Chief Nyolo Nongonyan, who happens to be fortunately amongst yourself in Parliament, which is a blessing for us, because with him we are able to track as to what the debate is like going forward. And of course, on the far end, we've got Mr. Elvis Chisana, who is actually a National Executive Committee member representing the Western Cape as a whole. Whilst talking about that, maybe just to take you back, our structures are demarcated along government structures. National government is like SAFA, national office. Province along the nine provinces. And going down, we've got regions that are demarcated along district, municipalities, and the metros. Lower down, local football association are demarcated alongside the local municipalities. We did that so that there is a clear impact. When you are a ratepayer in a particular area, work closely with the structures that are out there. So football comes in as a delivery means to look after the extra curriculum, whilst the various governments and municipalities are looking at other issues of administration. I just thought I should bring that point in. And I know we still have a challenge of some municipalities that are not working closely with our structures, which is a challenge. We are saying people are there, they are volunteers, they do that for the labor of love, use them to address those social issues we are concerned about. And we have Mr. Mbuso Mbele, who is the CEO of 2013 AFCON that you've just talked about. And AFCON will, after the 2013, will also have what we call the championship tournament, which is only local based players in the continent. And of course, our own CEO, Dr. Robin Pipperton, he comes in with a lot of experience, not only in football, but in many other fields, including being a man of God, which is a blessing for us at all times. That's our introduction, and thank you once again.
Yeah, thank you very much for our introduction. So I would invite then Dr. To make the presentation and pick up to the presentation. And we may have one for today. No, many of you remember the one so that they have. This one was playing very well. And then Constant. We are passionate about football. We are very passionate about football. And then that's why we want to invite you to the person to take us to one of the
things. Before our CEO needs to be very cautious to start planning to be special. Question of time, how, what time are you looking for the information? Because the structure is producing football. We have the top of the condition of course. The top of the condition. And then you indicate to us whether you will that one and then questions managed on that one. If they have the second batch of the condition with some corn, and then we would like to clear around that. We will not clear on our question.
What we will take it. Into mastery. AFCON at the end, but SAFA. Even on SAFA, they're always interested in development and leadership of government and on transformation and sport. Those are central areas where that we think are very critical. But we'll take that then to the next level, whether we need to dwell in as members of parliament to facilitate the development of the transformation of sport. And then also comes in there and tell us about Orlando Stadium and whatever they want. Not just saying that Cape Town was not even so we're in Cape Town and then we'll have a discussion on that and see then what is happening in 2014 and 2015 and have a really good discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. members of parliament, my leadership and my colleagues. It is indeed, as the president has said, an honor for us to be here. And we are particularly delighted because the last time we were here to be grilled about our failure to qualify for the African Cup of Nations. And it was not a happy time. Fortunately, I think that we have moved beyond that. And I think that, in fact, there was in the bitterness of that experience some very salutary lessons that we have learned and that I think we will share with you today. But I think today when we come to present, we want to talk about the other work that we have been doing for a number of years, but that we are now intensifying in particular in a number of areas. And so I think that at the end of this, our hope is that you will have, one, a very informed understanding of the nature of our organization, of its complexity and its size, of our vision and our mission, and some of the strategic work that we're doing now to create what we think are the right kind of goals and the right kind of purposes for an organization such as ourselves, and then begin to address some of the issues that you, Chair, have raised. Now, just as a brief process matter, Chair, with your permission, we did send, and I think you all received, a whole series of background documents. What I'm presenting today is a PowerPoint presentation which you have in front of you, but that presentation is really a summary or a synthesis of the documents, because we had to find some way to present this big file of background information. I trust that's in order with you, Chair. Thank you so much. The first part that we were requested to speak about was around the governance of SAFA and the governance of football. And I thought it would be useful for you to look at the vision statement that SAFA developed when it was first formed and functions around the vision of the governing body of football in South Africa. SAFA is committed to firstly promoting and facilitating the development of football through sustainable infrastructural and training initiatives, engaging in proactive dialogue with the government here today to generate a partnership and recognition of football as a national asset, creating an image of being a stable, progressive and innovative institution, creating a mutually beneficial relationship with the corporate world, and contributing to Africa's ascendancy in world football through the hosting of major events in Africa, while aspiring and striving to become a leading football playing nation. I think, Chair, that captures, and you can see in reading that, how that mission has guided much of what you have seen us doing over the years. Hosting of AFCON 1996, the desire to host the World Cup, the African Youth Championship, and so on and so on. And AFCON 2013-2014, our commercial relationships, we, as you might all have read last night, we were signed our broadcast deal with the SABC, which we're delighted about. Stable, progressive, innovative institution. I think we'll take you through some of what we're doing in that area today. Our dialogue with government as our partner, a critical part of our, and as the President has already shared, very built into how we've structured ourselves so that we can dialogue at every level, from the local football association to national. And of course, fundamentally about the development of football through these initiatives. In terms of the governance, we subscribe as an association to the principles of good governance as provided for in the Companies Act and the King Reports. We are structured into a National Executive Committee, and we have 24 subcommittees, each of them dealing with a very important part of our game. We have four meetings of the National Executive Committee per year. We have in place a full set of procurement policies. We have received unqualified audits for the last number of years. We have obviously external auditors who do that for us. We have an autonomous risk and audit committee as well as an autonomous remunerations committee. And we have very well, I think, defined roles of the CEO and the executive and the relationship between the two. We have produced every year our annual reports, and they have been adopted at our Congress. And so I think from an overall governance framework, we are transparent, we are open, our books are available there for there to anyone to see. There are no large bonuses paid to people. I'm always actually, may I say this, Chair, and I'll say this with due deference to my leadership here, I'm always in awe as the executive. I get paid a salary for my work. It's hard work, but I get paid a salary. But I'm in awe of someone like the President. To give an example, this is not his work. He's not an executive president. The whole of last week, he was involved with our negotiations. He was down here for the budget speech. We flew back on Friday night. I was exhausted after the 2 days in Cape Town. And I said to the President, I'm so looking forward to this weekend. He said, no, he has to go now to a SASCOC presidential summit over the weekend. No home, no Mother's Day, nothing. And then back on Monday for the press conference and the negotiations with SABC, which were then delayed to Tuesday. And so it goes, and Gary is on Wednesday. Now, that's unremunerated work. And I think that there are a lot of criticisms that are leveled against leadership. There's a terrible article in the newspaper I read on the way down which talks about how these big wigs who are almost implying they're greedy and so on. And I believe it's fundamentally untrue about our leadership in SAFA. And I want to, as a CEO, pay tribute to them because they give up an enormous amount of their time for the work that they do. And I wasn't asked to say that. we're structured in terms of us.
No pay.
My performance reviews for a long time. Thank you, Jim. We have a national general council that meets on an annual basis, comprises of representatives of all of our members, which are our 53 regions, plus our associate members. There is a national executive committee, which is elected by the General Council. And as we said, we have 24 standing committees, and we have some independent structures that fall under us as well. The SAFA FIFA Legacy Trust, which has done amazing work in terms of the President has announced, has just received this 450 million rand into that trust, and will be now contributing in a significant way to South African football. The Infrastructure Foundation, which with money from the Lotto, has so far built 27 artificial pitches throughout the country, some of them in very, very rural and remote areas. We intend, with the help of Lotto, if we can get it right, to complete so that we will have one in each of our regions. And those, together with the Department of Sport and Recreation, in cooperation with them, will become the centres for sporting excellence in that region. You know, the Minister's vision is about having a centre of excellence, of sporting excellence, and we've signed a cooperation with them to use these centres that we have been building to be the cornerstone of that overall sporting precinct for the region. So there's another example, I think, of a very proactive relationship with government in infrastructure build. We're very, very proud of those, and I would really ask that members, if you get a chance to go and visit these facilities, they are inspirational. Of course, the SAFA Secretariat, under my leadership, is the CEO. And we have set up an independent body, which is about to get going, for South African Football Commercial Holdings, so that we will, in that body, do all of our commercial transacting with our sponsors and partners, and we'll have an independent board to govern that. So as we've already said, I won't belabor this, we have the 50 regional associations, and we are, as we've already mentioned, in line with the demarcations. We have 10 associate members, and those are listed there for you to read, and one what we call special member, and that is the National Soccer League, comprising of the Premier Soccer League and the National First Division. These are important parts of our football, and some of them have historical legacies, which means they're there, others are new. But we work with them to drive the overall vision of football in the country. Now, going back to our last visit here, I said that we've learned some salutary lessons. And the salutary lesson that has come out of our failure to qualify for the African Cup of Nations has actually, I believe, laid the foundation for something extremely significant under the leadership of the President. In the aftermath of our failure to qualify, we all had to be very self-reflective around that. And the President announced, and and said that we would be holding on the 27th of January of this year. This year that's already happened. We've already had this, but he announced in December of last year that we would be holding a technical symposium where we would gather the best footballing brains in the country to think about what's gone wrong and how we're going to fix it. And we started that time. In between came the Christmas holidays. And I happened to be, a little story if I can just lighten it up a bit, walking along the beach on holiday with a friend of mine, who I'm very privileged to have a friend called William Kentridge, a famous artist and musician. We were walking along the beach together, and he said to me, "So how has this time at SAFA been? I've started in August." And I said, "You know, it's a strange organization for me. I haven't got my head around it coming from a business environment, because if we had qualified for the Cup of Nations, everyone would have said we had a great year. Women are going to the Olympics, the men are going to the Cup of Nations. Everyone was feeling very positive. But because we did not qualify, suddenly we were in a crisis. We were called to Parliament to come and explain. We didn't qualify. And then when we were called here, everyone said, you're not doing enough on this and none of that. And we were now made to look as if we're doing nothing." So he was very thoughtful as we walked along the beach, and he said to me, "You know what, Robin? It reminds me of the magic fruit." Now that's a strange thing to say, but only an artist can say it and get away with it. He said, "You know, he produces this opera, Mozart's The Magic Flute. He does it around the world." And he said he's done it over 50 times around the world. And he said what he has learned from that opera is that the critics of the opera judge it on one thing and one thing only. There is a particular aria or song in the opera sung by the Queen of the Night, is one of the characters, and in that she has to do something almost impossible from an operatic point of view, and that is to sing the top F. Now, you know when Pavarotti sings a top C, everyone gets goosebumps and thoughts. Well, this is an F. This is three above that. And she has to do it like in a run 6 times. And he said to me, "You know, Robin, half the times in a live performance, she doesn't hit it every time." And he said, "Every single time that happens, the critics say, the bad. The opera, whole opera was bad. Disappointing. They find fault with everything. If she hits the top F, the whole opera was fantastic." So he said, "SAFA, and you need to understand that, is like that. No matter what else you do, no matter, we can tell you all our development stories, we can tell you all the good work we do, even with the women going to the Olympics, everyone says, oh, no, no, Bafana didn't qualify. Bafana didn't qualify." So, thank you. So, what I realized then, and I came back and I shared it with the president, is that our bottom line, you know, businesses have a bottom line. Our bottom line is software, not profitability. Our bottom line is sustained international success. That is how we are judged. Whether we like it or not, we can protest, we can say, no, we're doing all this other good stuff, even the social development stuff and the youth stuff and grassroots programs. If Bafana is not doing well, forget it. No one's happy with us. So, at the technical symposium, we made this our thought center, our strategic center. And we asked ourselves, and the 200 people who were there, how do we create sustained international success? And what we did was we defined what that would mean. And our definition is as follows. We said, South Africa, with all of its resources, everything that we have, should be consistently in the African top three. If we're achieving that consistently, if by that it should never be a question, we should always be there. And in the world top 20. Now, of course, we want to be number one, but no team, Barcelona, you name, Man U, no one can always be number one. But it is possible to be consistently in the top three. And that, we've said, must be our goal. That's our top F. That's how we have defined our top F. And we believe if we achieve that, that the nation will be happy. Now, we said, in order to achieve that, through this group of 200 technical experts we had over 3 days, in order to achieve that, what do we need to do? What are the necessary conditions for that success? And of course, we've got lots of these already in smaller parts that have been, and we defined seven of them. And we've called them our seven streams of success. Number one, developing and aligning South Africa's national football philosophy. We have to have a common way and a common understanding of how we want to play football. And that has to be cascaded down through our structures, down to coaches coaching under 11s at a local football association. So the kid playing left back in Manenberg at under 11 is taught that a left back in, sorry, I just now pointed it out, is taught that this is how South African football wants you to play. So it's a big part. This is a very contentious and a big issue. But we have started the process of doing it. Secondly, once we've done that, we need to create a talent identification and development pipeline. Now, you all know the thing popularized by Malcolm Gladwell that in order to be an elite performer in anything, you need 10,000 hours. You've probably heard the story. Talent is widely distributed across, in this room, there is people here that could have become an elite athlete. I don't know if any of us became that. The reason we didn't was because we did not put in the 10,000 hours. I was listening to Chad Declow and his swimmers at the minister's pre-budget speech breakfast. And when you hear the amount of swimming that they do to get to where they are, from the age of 12, they're doing 5 hours of swimming a day. Now, if you translate that, 5 hours times 5 days, that's 25 hours, times 40 weeks, is 1,000 hours, times 10 years is 10,000 hours. That's what it takes to be an elite anything, whether you're a mathematician or a music artist, it's that amount of work. Now, that means you have to identify your talent at about 12. Otherwise, you're too late. If you're only getting people doing their 1,000 hours at the age of 16, the talent will only emerge at the age of 26, properly developed. So we have to build a structure that will systematically identify that talent at that level and have a pipeline, a structured pipeline that integrates academies, integrates clubs, integrates local football associations, regional, provincial, national, so that there is a proper structure in place to take that talent through to our national team. The third part, entrenching a dynamic coaching, education, and deployment system. We boasted up until now that we have trained 8,000 coaches. Accredited 8,000 coaches as since 1997. Yesterday, we had a workshop in this working group on coach education, and they asked themselves the blue sky question, how many coaches do we actually need if we're going to get to where we need? We need 150,000 coaches. From 8 to 150,000. That means, if we're going to do the numbers, we have to run 400 coaching courses a year. At the moment, we're doing 40. We think we're doing well. It cost us a lot of money. But we have to do 400 if we're going to start to become a nation that competes with the giants in football. Number four, necessary competitions framework. We have to have appropriate age group competitions at a local football association, regional, provincial, national level. At all the age groups with the right kind and style of football so that the Brazilians tell us of the secret of Brazilian football, every single player who's playing now from a young kid plays between 75 and 90 matches a year, twice a week, 45 weeks a year. That's what they do. So if we don't have a competitions framework, and that must integrate schools and clubs, we are not going to start to compete at that level. We have to do that. Building the optimal football infrastructure administration. We don't have pitches. You know, I go down and do strategic planning sessions at our regions. The president does his regional and LFA visits. And I ask the regions when I do this, what are your biggest challenges? And I let them list all of them. There are two things that come up every single time. We do not have the facilities to play. We're sharing fields with here, we get kicked off there, we don't have enough fields, the fields are poor quality, and we don't have administration. My blue sky dream as the head of administration is that we eventually will have an administrator and a coach and an office in every local football association. That's 330 that we have. That's what we need. We need an administrator at that level who will register the players, run the league, ensure that there is uniform quality. We need a coach who's doing the talent identification and the bringing of those talent together to make sure that they start building that talent pipeline. Now, we cannot do that on our own. If he's talking 15,000 rand a month per LFA times 330, you're talking 4.5 million rand a month just in those costs times 12, that's 50 million rand a year. We don't have that money. But if we have a partnership with government, with the local government, with the NYDA and others, and CAT-CETA, we can find ways, I believe, of achieving that goal of having an administrator and a coach at every single LFA, every region, every province, and of course at national. Harnessing the power of technology, we're about to roll out a centralized player registration system. I'm not sure if members are aware. We believe, we don't know the exact figure, we believe we have 3 million registered players. Now, that makes us a three times bigger membership organization than the ANC. That makes us, I believe, the largest membership organization in the country. Now, there's an enormous power and responsibility that comes with that. So we need to know who our members are. We need to track their history, their registration, their playing activity, all of that. And we started the process of doing that, of rolling out a centralized player administration, game administration, match administration system that will cascade all the way down to local football level. And then finally, leveraging the expertise of sports science to develop players who are coming from these disadvantaged areas, who are coming out of the streets. And I keep referring to Manenberg because that's where I was a minister for 5 years in the 1980s. I've been made an honorary member of the Manenberg Local Football Association there because, Manenberg, you know, kids coming from there, you name it, around the country. If they don't have the right nutritional input at the right age, the right kind of training, the right kind of sports science support, they will never develop into elite performers. So we have to have that intervention. So, Chair, these are the seven things that we've identified. Now, we didn't just say, okay, those are the seven things, let's go home. We then said we need to have a process to actually bring this into a proper plan. So what we've done, and I'll just get all of these up there, is we had our technical symposium in January, and then we appointed some consultants to work with us, and between February and now, they have been studying global best practice, and they have developed that document. And we have seven working groups. Of the 200 people who were there, people have volunteered to be part of working groups. This week, Chair, we started those working group sessions. So we had one on competitions framework, one on coach education. Next week we have two more, and then we have two more, and then the final one. Those groups are now putting together the plan. We will then integrate that into a comprehensive plan. We will test it against an international reference group. We will then cost it, and we will call people together, much like the minister did with the sports endeavor, and present it back. And we're aiming, I think, now in September to present it back as a costed, integrated plan for the transformation of South African football to achieve sustained international success. We will then go and approach all of our stakeholders, like government, like CAT-CETA, like the Youth Development Agency, like our commercial partners and others to say, help us to fund this plan. And it is going to require massive funding because of the size of our sport and the reach of our sport and the needs that we have. So, Chair, I think that's given you and members, hopefully, an overview of where we are going with our development plans. Now, many of these things are already happening. In your files, you would have seen the work that we've been doing on referees, development, on coach development, on player development. The amount of money that we are already spending on development is significant. We have coaching courses, we have referees development, administration courses happening all the time throughout the country and at the head office. But it's not enough. We have to increase probably by tenfold if we are to achieve our goals. That's the first part. The second part, I'm going to quickly, and I'm not going to go through every slide in detail, but we were asked to talk, Chair, about Banyana Banyana and the road to the Olympics. and to London 2012, which is now just a few days away, effectively. We're very, very proud of Banyana Banyana. They have made the nation proud, they made SAFA proud, and it started off, the journey to the Olympics started off in January 2011, when we played a home and away match against Zambia. We won 5-1 on aggregate, and we went through to the second round. And there, in April, we won on penalties against Tunisia, a very, very tough match, to take us to the next round, the last round. And the last round happened in August and September, where we ended up 4-1 on aggregate against Ethiopia to get through to compete at the London Olympics. The budget for the Olympics, we as SAFA have invested 20 million rand of our own money into the team. That's money that has not come from our sponsors. That's over and above what the sponsors have given. We are supported very fortunately by Sasol. Sasol have given us those amounts of money over the past 4 years. And that's only the Banyana contribution. They also do fund the league. Sports and Recreation last month gave us an amount of 3 million, 2 million to fund one of our matches for Banyana and 1 million for the team. And we've just recently heard a few weeks ago from SATCOC that they're going to give us an amount of 3.8 million to help fund the final preparations. We have a World Cup qualifier, we have African Women Championships home and away qualifier coming up. We have a base camp, a training camp in Germany just prior to the Olympics, and a million that will go to the player stipends. So that money is going to be coming from SATCOC, and we're very delighted for that support. In terms of our actual Olympic preparations, I don't know why I keep jumping there. We started those immediately after qualifying. We took all of the team into the national, the Northwest University High Performance Institute. We did scientific testing of all the players. We assessed everyone, and we took 38 players. So we had a big squad, and we developed a preparation plan for fitness, for skills, and for team cohesion based on those results. From the 5th to the 13th of December, the team was back in camp. We played a friendly against Zimbabwe. Unfortunately, there we lost 3-0 to the setback in their preparations, but they pushed on. From the 3rd to the 28th of January, the team was based at SUSPI, the Stellenbosch University Sport Performance Institute, where they did further training, scientific testing, physical conditioning with 26 players. All of these we are paying for. From the 6th to the 23rd of February, we sent the team to South America to get used to playing outside of the continent. And in order to prepare for the Cyprus Cup tournament, we took 22 players and played 3 practice matches versus local teams. We won 2 of those and lost 1. And also, we used the Bafana Bafana performance coach, who is based in Brazil and is regarded as the best in the world, to work with the team on their fitness and their training conditioning. We then played in the Cyprus Cup, a very, very tough tournament, 12 nations. We lost 2-1 to South Korea, who were very, very strong. We drew with New Zealand, also a very strong team. We beat Northern Ireland and unfortunately lost to Scotland in the last match. Understanding where we come from, Banyana Banyana is ranked 65th, I think, in the world. So for us to qualify for the Olympics is a high achievement. But it is a stretch for the girls. This is the highest level that they've ever played at. But we've decided to put every single bit of resource that we can into making sure that they have every chance of succeeding at the Olympics. That's our squad. We then have some further activities. We played a match to celebrate Human Rights Day against Ghana. We won 5-4 on penalties, a really exciting match. That was the event that was funded by the Department of Sport and Recreation. We've kept the players in camp at the High Performance Institute to carry on with their physical conditioning. Effectively, the players have given up 6 months of their lives. They've given up their studies, they've given up their work, but they're not professionals. They do other work, and they've been with the team for 6 months. We funded that in order to give them the best opportunity. In April, they again were in Sutsby doing more development there. They are now getting ready for the African Women's Championship qualifier. They're currently in Rustenburg, and they play the qualifier against Tanzania. on the 20th of sorry, that's a friendly on the 20th of May, this coming weekend. There's a friendly against Tanzania. And then on the 26th of May is the African Women's Championship qualifier that will be played in Lusaka. On the 3rd, we play in a friendly against Nigeria. And on the 16th of June, we play in the second round of the African Women's Championship qualifier, and that will be played at Mbombela. By the way, the match on the 3rd of June is going to be an exciting day. That's going to be played in Rustenburg. It's the same day that Bafana Bafana are playing their qualifier against Ethiopia for the World Cup. That match will be played at 3 o'clock, and then at the same venue in the evening, we'll play this as a friendly. So we're playing a double head. I think it's the first time between Bafana and Banyana, the same venue, great celebration of football. So I think we want many people to come along. There you go. We have the return friendly against Nigeria in Abuja on the 23rd of June, and then we move to Germany. Hennef is the leading part of the German Football Association's camping facilities. It's one of the best preparation sites in Germany, and they'll be based there to acclimatise to European conditions. We'll play two friendly matches. One will most likely be against Brazil and one against France. It's not finally confirmed, but almost. We have a slight issue with SASCOC. They want the team to come back then and go back with them, and we're saying it's going to interrupt their performance, so we want him just to send back the captain and manager and the coach for to join the team on their official departure. But we're in discussions with SASCOC about that. But they will then be handed over to SASCOC on the 18th of July, on Mandela's birthday. Also happens to be my birthday, I'm very privileged. And then they will leave for London as part of Team South Africa. We have drawn a very, very tough group, unfortunately. Look, I think any group would be tough, but we have the reigning world champions, Japan. We have Canada rated in the top 10 and Sweden rated, I think, third or fourth in the world. So we have an extremely tough qualifying group, and we can't expect them to win that qualifying group, but we can always hope. Soccer is a surprising game, and we've given them every chance of preparation. So our matches are 25th of July against Sweden, to be played in Coventry. We heard yesterday that the SABC has got the rights and they will be broadcasting, so we're delighted about that. On the 27th of July, just 2 days later, they play against Canada. That's one I think we can look at winning, also in Coventry. And then the final one on the 31st of July against Japan, down at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. Big, big stage for our team. Again, looked at our team, and it will be very proud. As I said, Sasol is our sponsor. They sponsor both Banyana Banyana and women's football. We absolutely in deep debt of gratitude to them for their commitment to women's football. The sponsorship ends on the 31st of December. We're hoping that they won't say, well, now we've got you to the Olympics, goodbye. We're hoping that they, well, we know they actually won an award this year at the Sports Awards for the best sponsorship. So I'm hoping that and, you know, a good word from your side would always help to keep them supporting. We had some bad news that ABSA are not going to renew for the Women's League, the Regional League, which is not good news, but we will find a replacement for that. Very briefly on the final issue that we were asked to speak on, and this is something not so nice, and I ask you members to please keep this information as confidential as possible. As you are aware, we had been requested by FIFA to participate in their investigations into match fixing. There's a brief report which I'm sure you have read. It's part of a global syndicate that has been operating throughout the world. The head of that syndicate is now in prison in Finland for match fixing in Finland. They are part of a global team, and FIFA are doing this investigation. We are fully participating with them. They have not yet concluded their report. When they do, we will report back on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, and Robin, for the presentation. Okay, so this is then.
Yes, Chairperson. To keep this confidential, you know, we've got the press here too, and you must beg and ask for what it is, or you can't coerce him that he's got any presidential. Chairperson, thank you ever so much for the presentation. I have a few, I also have my topic, brother. And my topic, and because I come from the Eastern Cape, is to see an Eastern Cape team representative representing that area. You know, we have a vast pool of talent. Many of these big names, they come from the Eastern Cape. I'm talking big name players. They come from the Eastern Cape. We have from that area, I see Mr. Mumble's name down here, we have Errol Haynes, we have the Jordan, we have all those people, but no players, no team, you understand? And that to me is a big, big problem, because I think we are letting the Eastern Cape down. I'm not pointing fingers at you, but we are letting the Eastern Cape, I see the chairperson touch the vice chairperson there too, because he's also from the area. I know why he touched him. The fact of the matter is, chairperson, you know, we have Volkswagen there. Volkswagen, they sponsor other teams from other areas. They don't want to sponsor Eastern Cape teams. And therefore, I think, from my side, please, do everything in your power to get the right people involved for the right reasons to get Eastern Cape sort of sport going. You understand? We have nothing there, my friends. We don't have rugby, we have got the Kings, but where do they play? You understand? And really, I want to see the Eastern Cape on the map. And it's not that I only want to see the Eastern Cape on the map, chairperson, but I want to see our people involved. They have potential. Why don't they go somewhere else to really fulfill that potential? That is my first thing. My topic, is to see that happening. Now, there was a big controversy about the money received from FIFA. And I'm not so sure whether we've received the money. Although it was mentioned here now that we received 450, I don't know if it is million rand or million dollars or million what it is, but we received that from FIFA. Now, but I also read the papers that it was, at the beginning it was, I think, 700 some odd rand, and million rand, I'm not so sure. Why is there a discrepancy now? Why only 450 million? And what are we doing with that money? What happened to the buses and cars we bought? Because I often read in the newspaper about the buses and cars. I want to start with the negative things first. What happened to the buses and the cars that we bought? Robin, you spoke about your development program. I read over this weekend that there is this facility, supposed to be the greatest facility where people like Stephen Pienaar, where he comes from, where he sort of was developed, and they say that facility is in an advanced state now. The question is, why are we, is it so, and why did we allow it to just sort of disintegrate in that way? It was also reported to us last week by Cycling Chairperson that the velodrome in, they were moving the velodrome here in Belva, I'm talking Western Cape now. And I know that we also played soccer there. I think it's the same facility. So I really want to inquire, what is soccer doing to get another facility? Because I know there's a soccer team playing there. One of the soccer, I think it is, sorry? Mm-hmm. That is right, yes. So what are we doing? Why are we allowing these things to happen? Now, looking at the investigations, from page from point 20 to about 20, now point 20, they named the number of matches that this guy was involved in or that he arranged. Now, how many more matches did we play in that period? And why was he allowed to arrange these matches? And really, who is then to blame? Who is responsible? Whose responsibility is it that he sort of got involved? And then I also want an update on this investigation, Chairperson. How far are we? You mentioned that, the last point, Chairperson. We received, and the minister said the other day, we received, I think, 200 million from the lotto. I think it's for Team Olympic, isn't it? That was who's for. Okay. But, now the question is, because I have now a problem how that money will sort of be administered. And are you involved in the administration of that 200 million too? And what is your intention? Do you have any intention or intentions to how to use that money? Thank you very much, James.
Okay, sir. Let me also thank the CEO for his presentation. And one can see that there is some work happening. Firstly, CEO, I think that these negative things which are in the press, we must correct them. We must get a spokesperson to correct them, because at the end of the day, the people take it, it's true, because there is no comment from SAFA side. And I think this thing was raised then, sometime by Compeller, when he was chairperson, saying that there must be a spokesperson for SAFA. Not necessarily the president, but there must be a person who deals with these issues. Let me come to your presentation. CEO, you spoke about you not sure of your membership, should be around about 3 million. But you must have a database, CEO, where we keep all our records of SAFA. You know, we're in France, they can tell you that player broke his ankle that year, and this is where that player is. And this is the doctor who treated that player. So we must try to get such and such data so that we have data of players, data of coaches, data of wrestlers and everything. These 53 regions, how do SAFA manage them? And, you know, when you go to these local matches, and even school matches, there's a lot of cheating which is happening there. I remember I was the KZN. The one team, school team, looked like a local team, and the other one looked like a school team. And when you speak to them, they say, no, we received the ideas of these people. But something is just not correct there. I think you spoke about this allegation of match fixing the CEO. This thing is not confidential. Because I know that it is PSG has got this record. So we can just talk about this a lot again. But someone in a bulletin 16 indicates that there's a SAFA worker or something who was involved in this thing. Let me just check what it says. It is clear from records that some officials of the association met representative of the company Football for You. Now, to me, is there no conflict of interest when officials employed by SAFA get involved with these issues? How do we deal with such things as SAFA? Because Those are the things which makes the press to write so negative things. We must deal with those things and sort those things out as proper. On the issue of Banyana Banyana, I must say that I want to thank you, because Banyana Banyana is struggling financially really. And to see that some such amount of money has been allocated to assist, we want to appreciate that. And we want to request Papa to really go on with Banyana Banyana. And even their leagues, let us get involved so that they also have leagues, not only Banyana Banyana, but women's soccer. And so that they can play like the other PSL teams and what have you. So that we have a feeder for Banyana Banyana. Thank you.
Thanks, Professor, and thanks to our moderator. Professor, I have this, you know, touchy feeling about the word career. I'd like to appeal to the CEO that the members of Parliament are not for you in favor of the family. But we are just engaging, you know, to ask people like really, next time when we call you, we will discuss that in front of any commission. My question is around where we are talking of associate members of special and special members. This lonely, I don't understand. Can somebody explain better and clarify it? Because I'm having a question after understanding what is this application in the future. That's for my question.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I'd like to say to the team presenting today that been hugely impressed with the content, hugely impressed with the content compared to last time. And to the CEO, I think your analogy of the theatre production was well founded. And sometimes you come from the agony of defeat and pain, and what emerges is something special, which often becomes a blueprint for the way forward. So I want to say very well done to all of you in the presentation. Before I get to the presentation, I'd also like to extend from myself and from our party good wishes to Bignon and Bignon, and an appreciation to you and Lotta and of course the sponsors and everyone involved to make it happen. And I think a top F there, a real top F, was if they could get beyond the first round. I think that would be a fantastic achievement for basically a bunch of part-time ladies who have come together for 6 months, but please extend our best wishes to them. On the presentation itself, the first issue I'd like to discuss is governance. And governance is the hot topic and the buzzword of the sporting world at the moment. And in your presentation, you spoke about the King Reports and, of course, the Companies Act. And to the CEO, have you taken any account of the Nicholson Report, which I think in the debate you would have heard, there was a lot of emphasis put on there, particularly with the question of independent directors, and I'll come to that in a second. The second part of that is under the SAFA General Counsel slide, the far end, the right portion, you had the commercial arm or the commercial holdings, and I see you're going to have independent directors there. Is it only there, or are you going to have independent directors throughout council as well? Regarding your associate membership and special member, getting back to the PSL, I think we have, as a committee, have touched on it in the past, whereas there seems to be a dual relationship or a dual power base with football in this country. What is your relationship from a legal perspective with the PSL? Because we've had this debate in the past regarding players being made available and not being made available. How does this plan, which I want to discuss right now with the seven streams, how do you get that into the mindset of the PSL? Because clearly they've got to buy into this. And as a special member, I'd hope they would. And then I'd just like to get onto that issue. You've got the seven streams, and I must say that this is the most comprehensive plan possibly of any federation that I've seen presented, and I want to compliment you. It's extremely well thought out, and this is a world-class seven streams. My question to you is, what is your time frame for this to work? Because we will not judge you in 1 year, because I believe this needs a maturity to emerge from this so we can understand it. The public are impatient, but we understand that if you take a 12-year-old who's identified and you put in those 10,000 hours, that individual 17 or 18, clearly for it to transcend to World Cup level and AFCON level and Olympic level, it's going to take a minimum, I would say, 5 to 10 years. You know, that, but I'd like to hear what your time frame is, because you haven't spoken about the streams of success time frame. Our chairperson, just to say that I think this is a very refreshing approach, and I'm delighted, because I think at long last we're on the right path. Thank you.
Thank you, Shakun. I must also add for you that I am my appreciation to the presentation that I'm working here. And make us actually follow their work and also look forward to their turnaround strategy. And I think that is commendable, because you don't actually try and persuade what are you going to do, what have you done. So it is clear to me. I think that is we appreciate the professional layout of the presentation. But what I wanted to engage myself with your presentation is on your identification. You talked of your identification, that you need to identify them at the age of, I think when we were to be actually achieving your top F, it must be at an early age, at about 12 years. And if you talk of this identification, I did not hear you saying it, because I think with your presentation on Banyana Banyana, I could see that, you know, for them to be actually prepared, you have actually fixed some kind of preparatory measures so that they can actually prepare themselves. But I don't actually hear you saying, how do you, how are you going to have in place? Because to me now, it becomes a very, very, big question to say at 12. But I don't hear you saying, what plan is in the hand, or is it still coming? Because I think having identified your seven areas of success, maybe you will be coming with a plan. If you are still going to be coming with a plan, I'm asking to say, it's imperative that we are also furnished with the plan, so that you can assess your implementation of the plan. Because I think you said it clearly that whatever good work you are doing, but really, if we cannot find either Fana Bafana at the competitive for your level, Priya Dumala, if I could just actually Jefferson say, I'm quite more with Bola Nia Tima. When I look at these matches that I have, Premier, Soccer, Lonelise, I say to me, what is it for? Because they cannot go beyond. It's only the South African competition. So maybe with your identification, you'll be happy that you actually say, maybe there is something at hand to say, this is a plan, we are going to start by this time, and we are going to go this way so that we catch them young. I'll be very happy. And I'm also happy that you say, you are also heeding the call of the minister that we need to sort of shape our infrastructure
And also, I'm happy that you also said that you have so good relationships with other stakeholders. I'm happy about that. So we are looking forward to that. The second question is on your statistics on your train, the 10 coaches, the 8,000, whereas your expectation you are actually looking forward to the 150. If you are looking at the 150, you look at the time 1997 up to that far. When do you think you can actually realize your goal of 150,000? Because to me, we need to work within the time frame so that we can assess ourselves whether we are actually making strides or there are some weaknesses so that we can see what turnaround strategies we can come up with. Because to me, this is an area which to me, because we can't actually rely on. You are actually saying Banyana, you have the coach that you are coaching, Bafana is now actually taking Banyana through. The outsourcing of human resources to me, it's enough for our resources, because it's not for free. I think you are actually putting out a lot of money for that. So I think the sooner you have your time frame to say you want to develop our, and how are you going to make them assist, because as you identify how many for which level, so that at the end we have that. And also, I have actually gone through your documents on your provincial representative, as you have actually also highlighted that you have the provincial representative. I'm not a person. Another feeling in the mama we left her, when we can also be included fully on the provincial representatives. Especially we are talking of the transformation. If you cannot transform at the level of Ilona in my executive way, so sort of boba. To me, I want to say I see that the point. I'm happy that the president, I think you need to look at it. Moba la mububa nyana banyana, you are happy, you are saying, yes, not to support. But if we are supported by nyana banyana, we must see women coaches, we must see women provincial representatives in Nyanji, Leo E, to me, it's Kabama Bussi, Asani Bouga, because you have actually said that Nisayo Sangana, like what has happened, the best has happened, who fought in that. Look at yourself and develop something, Lebona Bussi, now we can contribute. Because now, why Banyana, but the Bamu level, you have a whole computer, Umadona, Buma, international again. We have the potential and capacity. Why don't we do that? And Obunye, I must also thank Obuti. You have actually highlighted that you have signed some sort of agreement with the SADC for broadcasting Ilona Injal. The worries, I think I talked to one of the colleagues to say, Ilona Injal has already going out. He has already made some draws, but there was nothing that stuck out. Yes, these were the donor preparations, and now the Bagley level. Because at the end, this sport is for everyone. This soccer is for everyone. So I think in Achabula, but we need to monitor. We see, do they put also Nala Scala corner where we identify? Because if we start there, everybody. Because Ilona Yaga Minister and Nati Song, you see, sport is for everybody. After you have a government and something is already put in the government, they broadcast, your broadcaster won't go with that problem. And we are paying them, maybe you cited with the Nama regions, Minama Palona Nama district and Minale on a national year. I think coming from all levels, we have the same. Thank you, sir.
And the what I wanted to make follow up.
Yeah. It's a small one,
sir. Don't forget that we're not at that time of the meeting. So we're always there.
Yeah, it's a small one. I've seen your constitution, but I've not been able to read it. I just want to know, your provinces, are they guided by the same constitution, or do they have their own constitution, like in rugby? And which causes very serious problems, that because in rugby, the mother bodies can't intervene in provinces and in local. I just want to understand that, what is going on with your constitution. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I just want to support the President where he spoke about the big farms, Chairperson. And to that end, we must really support them. You know, we must take no prisoners when we go and investigate and oversee things, that we, these municipalities, they must use that money for the purpose that it was given to them. And that is really up to us, Chairperson, really to see that that mandate is carried out, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think the team then can really answer whatever question they want to school. And very clear question as a command.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my colleagues. This time, all of us will participate. Have a bite and someone will continue. It won't be in a particular order, but we'll try and scan through. Some of them might be very administrative, where the CEO will certainly deal with them. And I'm happy the chief is here. He is actually the chair of the Legal and Constitutional Committee, Honorable Scorer. He will handle the constitutional issues, and he's an expert. He sits at CAF, he sits at FIFA on this issue, so we are well covered. The Eastern Cape issue about the representative team. I must say that this is again one of the bullet points that the CEO has indicated in terms of the structure of the competition. What kind of competitions do we have? Are those competitions allowing us to have those representative teams? Yes, at junior level, it is happening. But beyond that, it becomes another matter, because it's clubs that are now participating. And I know from our competition, we have a competition structure that look at competitions for your under 17, and then the league then bring the best team in the province to compete against the other best teams. The Upsa League will bring the best of each province. Sasol will bring the best of each province. SAB League, the best of each province, including Vodacom, the best of each province. Because the purpose has been to try and follow their progression in terms of growing more. It is something that was discussed in our technical symposium. Shouldn't we perhaps steal some of the way in which rugby has done things, to begin to have what you call franchises, that each province must maybe have a selected team which will represent the best of the province. If you have two each, you have 18 that can always come together and play together. The best of each province, for instance, I can't tell you what colors the Eastern Cape as a province wear. And that also affects issues of patriotism, because people can't identify themselves with the particular problem. But it's something that is ongoing in terms of our discussion, knowing that we are following a club system. There was a question asked about the PSL and asked what is the relationship. When we want players, we go to them. And of course, at times they cannot release the players on the basis that it is not a FIFA sanctioned league. And that creates a problem for the preparation of such a team. which is something that we are trying to work with. They fit in our structure. And we have a committee that brings the two together to discuss issues of mutual interest in addressing football going forward. And I think you are right to say that the Eastern Cape has produced great, great administrators. No doubt about it. I was just looking at my left and I felt those are products of the Eastern Cape. And of course, on the football side, you also need individuals to stand up and raise their hands and say, we want to make a difference. Because at the end of the day, it's about volunteers. Everyone involved in football out there who owns a club at lower level is a mere volunteer. We now need men and women to say, this is my area, I am good, going to put my time aside to look after the children. And if you don't get many of them, then the area tends to go down in terms of now leadership coming up and heighten that and begin to own those clubs. And I think that area has a great potential because it has great administrators. So you only need others to follow up and say, look, I want to take the button now, I want to make a difference. The controversies about the money receipts, I just took out the slide. Of course, today we're not coming to present on that, but I could just quickly outline to you. When the whole amount started, it was almost at 75 million US dollars. Let me start before that. It started at 100 million US dollars. And out of that 100 million US dollars, 10 million US dollars was used to build such a house, the very house you're seeing out there. That was the flagship that we have in terms of the World Cup. There was another 10 million US dollars, which was used to look after Bafana Bafana in a build-up towards 2010 FIFA World Cup. You remember we had to get the foreign coach that members are concerned about, and that did not come cheap indeed. It was quite costly, but under the circumstances, we felt we had a duty to ensure that we don't just have a team, we have a team that competes. Another 50 million US dollars was used to buy the cars that you were concerned about. Buses, 35 buses were bought, 42 seaters, 52 buses were bought, 22 seaters, and those 52 buses are not lying at the head of it. They were distributed where you come from. In your area, if you find out from that region, they have a 22-seater bus, branded Safa, which enable them to do their activities of development, etc., etc. Not only did we stop there, we bought extra 52 cars so that each region, where you come from, I know every member here comes from a particular area. In your area, if you give yourself time and find out what is happening, you will see this bus, you will see this car, they are branded. That was also as a way of enabling our members to be able to move from point A to point B as part of the legacy of this World Cup. And then the amount that was left was 65 million US dollars, and that is the one that we are now having and is kept very well. And you ask whether the money is still in Zurich or South Africa. The money is now with us. It's in safekeeping. It was distributed in various banks. As you know, the Board of Trustees have a duty to ensure that they invest the money wisely so that it brings some good return. So that is happening currently. And we haven't spent a cent out of that. The first application will come through the 1st of June. And by the end of July, they close the application. And a committee will then assess those applications. And once the committee has done that, will then recommend to the Board of Trustees, which is going to sit around December, because the Board of Trustees is composed of three members from FIFA, if I'm correct. Four members from FIFA, four members from SAFA, and business, and I think that covers it. And of course, the Department of Sports and Entertainment, the DG, to ensure that there's transparency. And of course, in terms of the trust deeds, there are issues they need to follow as members of the trust. So that money is very safe. All those negative publicities that went out there, Coca-Cola mentioned that we need a spokesperson. Who could have gone out there and said, look, what you said is wrong. This is what is happening. I thought I should clarify the issue of this money. The School of Excellence, we've been begging to get the school to the standard we want it to be, and I know there were negative publicity regarding that. At some stage, we'd apply for a fund from FIFA, which was to renovate that school. Unfortunately, for us to receive that fund, we needed a long-term lease from Transnet, and Transnet was taking time to give us that lease, because FIFA would not give us the money without us, without a guarantee that indeed we are going to utilize the very facility. Because the fear was, should we just invest money there? What if Transnet decides we're no longer part of it? But so far we have got good news that Transnet now will be giving us that lease, and FIFA will then give us the money to begin to upgrade the school again. The school had done very well in the past. By the time it was doing well, we had very few academies. But today, most of the clubs have their own academy. And as a parent, if a club comes, Kaiser Chiefs want to sign my son, they come with a bag of money and they put the bag down. We don't have the bag that we give to parents out there. However, we create an opportunity for the kids to get to that school. It's an excellent school. It has produced in the past. Before, it had many competitions. But for a parent, the feeling is already my son or whoever has the chance now, immediately you are part of an existing structure. What goes on from there, you will be part of it. You are guaranteed that opportunity. So most of the kids are running into those private academies. We are competing in a bigger market now, which was different from what was happening in the past. I think I'll leave the West issue of the ground to my colleagues in the province. Matches under investigation, I think the CEO will speak about it. And I must just say upfront that FIFA has been very happy with our cooperation. And you wanted to know how long it's going to take. And I know in the report it's indicated by the end of May it could be done. So they are following up on those people that are outside the country. Those people are not in South Africa. I know it was mentioned that one of SAFA officials is involved. Of course, the involvement here is meaning to say they work with those people, because they had to work with those people without really knowing. But we cannot preempt what the findings will be. We have allowed FIFA to go deep with the investigation, where they are even asking for records. I think we have applied with the police to allow them to have those records, because we said we are going to give them full cooperation. 200 million from school sports, I think we should not comment too much about that, because that is still in the minister's plan. However, we work very closely with the minister. There's an agreement that we will give them technical support. Well, the spokesperson we have mentioned, and the CEO will reiterate that what you said, Comrade Kola, I told you last week, we need this spokesperson as early as yesterday, because we can do it with threats. We are here spending a day here. Things are happening out there. Who is then speaking on up here? Database, I think, is going to talk about it. It is the system we're moving into, which is a challenge. And that database we're talking about also impacts on home affairs. How we keep our records in the country is a challenge. we need the entire system built up where it should become easy. When a child is born today, are we able to get the records that we can be clear about? And those are the things that are certainly a national agenda. And I think perhaps with the new card system, we might go somewhere, but those are issues. The cheating aspect is linked with the data system. Because if you can't capture them as early as that, Vilakas has become Mbululeko. And it goes that way. And those are real issues. And I think the schools have been trying to work on this matter, but it hasn't been easy. And not only the child, it's not only the child's children. Grown-ups are the ones that are cheating because they want to win at all costs. Not only those coaches, even the parents are believing, let's change this. Let me take, your younger brother's certificate, you can use it. And already they forget that they are now instilling the mentality of cheating and poor ethics for this young man. Next time when this young man cheats at home, they can understand where it comes from, but they start to say. So the issues of ethics as a subject in our society is a serious issue. Where people should, you don't need somebody to tell you it's wrong. You must first feel it yourself before the next person tells you. And maybe, as we're talking about this subject, perhaps a challenge to the Minister of Education, let's have the subject of ethics in the schools as an extra subject, so that people, you know, revive their conscience, because it's about conscience, really. And it's a very thin line. You can choose to say this is wrong, or decide, no, it's not wrong. I think that was the cheating and whatever. And we are trying our part, but unfortunately, it's not easy. The women football, we have the only two leagues, APSA and then TASOL. However, at lower level, my colleagues will attest, we try and put those structures together. In most cases, yes, it works. And with time, at times, they break down because we don't have many volunteers. To get involved in football means digging deep in your own pocket. That's how it is. And most of them will tell you how they arrive at where we are now. You have to toil there. It's a labor of love, a thankless job. And you've got to do it because you love it. When any of them started, they'll tell you they had to buy a bag at some stage to ferry those kids. When it's half time in a game, they must pay the referee from their own pocket. Nobody accounts for that. So we need more volunteers. We are also challenging you and inviting you in your own spare time, when you are at home, make yourself available. Attend those meetings. Go and contribute, because that's how we begin to build the nation. The issue of women, why don't we have women? We have a lot of ministers. It has been a challenge, and it continues to be a challenge. At times we try and be biased and say we are femme and say you're moving. It is a societal issue, but I hope with time we'll be able to address it. Again, because it's a voluntary activity, you can't force a person. And of course, when women graduate in life, the status change. When the status change, I, as a man, begin to say, but we have children, you can't be going to this nation. Those are realities. But we do have, for the first time in the history of SAFA, a lady who is a member of the National Executive. It is a great achievement. We hope the numbers will multiply, and she is the chairperson of Women Committee, Norm Samatan. She's done very well, and we are looking forward to many of them coming in the fold. And we are saying, we all come from a particular area. Let us encourage those that are on the ground to get involved and make a difference. Yes, from the league we have got Mato Madalo, who sits in our committee too. They normally get this kind of other names. I remember when Natasha was called Iron Lady.
Yes.
And we had Maria, the driver, who had a particular name. Because they are few, but when they come in, they make such an impact. I must confess and say, our women, whatever they are, make a big difference. And I wish we could get many of them at the level where we are. But I think with time and as society begins to evolve, this will happen in reality. We accept we are not going to talk about the West Guerrilla. This is really a constructive engagement. And I think every time we come to a forum of this nature, we leave very energized because we get another perspective. You are our mirror. We cannot see ourselves. We need something that says it's a feedback. And we really appreciate that. And thanks for bringing that in. I guess the influence of our media, because when you go out there, somebody will say, hey, stop our careers. The CEO begins to pick that as a way of talking. I'm going to leave the associate member to my honorable chief. Governance issues, chief and the CEO will handle, including Elvis. The 7th Street, the CEO will handle. There's another one where you talk about when do we identify them. We start at the age of 6 with what a program called grassroots football. 6 to 12. We are staying at that level, no competition. Kids must just have fun and develop the skills. Because once you let them compete, when a kid loses a game, the tendency is to cry. And you begin to say, you are not the best. And when they just play for fun, they begin to develop confidence and begin to feel they are the best. And then we start with an under-12 league. That's where real competition should be. And again, if you start a competition at such a lower age of 6, these kids are too small. When the ball reaches the far end, this young man is born thinking of home, or mommy, or looking the other side, and that's what happened. So in this grassroots, in one field we put 1,000 kids together, and they rotate around, and they don't even realize that the day is going, because it's fun, and they keep on rotating. It's something that we have introduced since 2009, which is very, very close to our heart, and we think it will address all the issues of a lack of basics, because that's where the coaches are able to see. This one is talented in shooting, this one in dribbling, this one in goalkeeping, in heading, etc., etc. They will take the other processes that we bring on. Banyana will take forward, and he'll take the plane forward. The same coaches will take that forward. I think we have addressed match fixing. Provincial representatives, I'll leave that to the chief again. SAB's contract, you have mentioned that, the constitutional chief. And I want to thank you for emphasizing the issue of municipality. Our core business is not to build facilities, but to promote and develop the game of football. That's where we stopped. But because nothing was happening, we were forced to come into the state. We don't own land. The land belongs to the municipality, and they must put those facilities in. We are there as the ratepayers. We will maintain those facilities, depend on how much they charge us as residents. But they must put on those facilities. We know challenges are many within our own, but that's why we are wary of that. That's why we came up with the issue of infrastructure. Chief chairs the infrastructure committee, and I hope they will continue to do a good job, because those pitches change a place that at times you never would turn your eyes and look into. I remember the one in James Fair. It was just a bush. And when you pass there, you would never turn your head and look at it. But now there's no way that you drive and not look at it. It's green, it's just like something away from this world. I even thought perhaps we should build them next to the hospital. So that those patients can look outside and see the beauty that is out there. And those facilities are in demand and they are utilized 24/7 because of the durability. We also have F&B as partners, where they have even put coaches who are receiving a stipend. In the coaches, you've got three coaches, one is a woman and two are men. Of course, after school, those grounds are filled with kids playing football. We do hope, we might not be able to see the difference now, but in the long run, something will happen out of it. I will leave the rest to my table team. Thank you.
Chair, honourable members, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think start with the first your topic. Agree with the first. But in the Eastern Cape, of course, I think it has been captured in the honourable choral issue as well around the society, but to the present. We know that we have a pushback in Chatterbox. And we know that there was an independent decision there. It was called Slap Bar. In other words, it's not a house, because wherever you visit Umtata, whether you are Kesa City or on the Parade, okay? It is enormous support. The direct result of municipality dismantling. What is it? That is set up a spirit with the summer structures there, pushing out the president and chance that it is what to support and could not win. They had to leave for the time. The direct result is created and the rest is not there. But Macau warriors, you know, took a franchise and then took it to B. And again, very well, the party came to the party, you know, called the big back for the people. They are not development, it's profit. Okay? And as a result, Macau warriors are not there. But there's light at the end of the tunnel, I think, that's when Robert. This is some part I was now in the tunnel. I think in the NFP, in the year or two, it's going to come up. And then, secondly, this is the point I wanted to say, on the question of the schools of excellence. The vision is that in each and every province of the Republic of South Africa, there must be schools of excellence. Be that to our national school of excellence, as the president called it, for example. And because of this mushroom grooming of all the schools, we have to regularize them. There are regulations now. What is the criteria? Because some kids are taking so-called schools, yet they are not. Because you must meet basic minimum requirements. We do have those regulations that we have crafted at SAPA and now to regularize this. I'm sure when it comes next year, we'll be able to tell you the results of that. Then, the other issue, I think it was the issue of let me start with, first of all, how does SAPA manage to this relation? As the President correctly pointed out, we decided, let's transform the government to what it is. In fact, we are the only federation in the country that have transformed and realigned all our structures along municipal boundaries. So, we do have those figures now, but lower them than this local association. And each and every member of the government must have a constitution that is not inconsistent with SAPA constitution. As our constitution can never be consistent with that of CAF and FIFA. So we control them in that way. And they come to the Congress whenever they are for their own Congress, they will go there. But on this issue of the affirmative, I think honorable member did indicate about the women. Again, because we're coming from an era where it was good for men, the theory by men. But then that now, there was a time for this question of women also coming in, because you must have a woman king. So in each and every region, there is a social, there's a for women, and so there are women structures, so there must also be part of them. That is why then we're saying, before we prescribe the 11th quota as buffer, they must also try and have a woman. Again, in APSA, there's an APSA league, which is for women. But on this question, one of the members, I told you, because what is frustrated as buffer, he said, what kind of differentiation? What kind of business to that actually is selling women food? How can they support women? We had to go to ASA. He said ASA is part of the premium partnership of Wafana Wafana. And we had a portion for development. And that portion for development is even for women. But how we were able to do that? I think we need to do more there. Because the businesses that are selling women clothes, they don't come to the party. But I think we will be able to do that. On the question of the of city, I just want to share with the honorable members. We had to go, what is it called, that 10th president of Maro. Where to? One? Yes. We had to organize the company to say, please, you pass, yes, you see this, your paper. I'm supposed to be to hire the body. Go through that test. But we were amused later on. They said, now, when you go to that test, you perform this way, and then test will be positive or negative, depending how you perform there. I didn't know how these people managed to cheat even a machine, in addition to what the challenges are. But it is really a major thing, which must be looked at. I think Steve was going to highlight on the question of IT. That if you keep them young and then monitor them right through, we'll be able to assist the thing with that matter. Then the, I think, Honorable Mackenzie in government, King V, King Lala, in principle, yes. But we have just heard about the difficulties in the court, and particularly the issue of, structure having some independent people that are serving there. We have requested that report, and that report obviously is going to go through because it's quite a change. And then go to the National Executive Committee. If there's any necessary constitutional amendment emanating from that, then that process is going to be followed. On the issue of the TFL, I think the President has already said, but I just want to add this dimension on fair availability because there's a constitutional issue there. It is really a professional argument, apart from that, I think you have to do it. We can't understand if then a national team must play, and then it cannot get any player it wants from any association that is played within the country. But the rules, where the cheating. The FIFA rules only prescribe that they will be forced if and only if it is given. And that is why at the present moment we are actually engaged in having club licensing. So that part of the of licensing all the clubs in the country, it must be obligatory now when a national team not only to get to the free public. That is the only thing. But fortunately, as the president already put out, we have three reservoirs for the result, and then when I think we will need this country party, really in the middle of the country now, is a big they do for. And for them, we have been around for the again, for the number of political policies. One question of honorable the deterioration of the standard. And then you use the word sometimes the male, you know. And then, you know, even people who don't go to the matches, it's going to work, but I pay for. And I think these are the things that has been brought to our attention over some time. There are us and the league. And you can see that the league is also competing with the media. coordination in the world because there are these now TV, not just TV, all those things. People are rather sitting in their own house and watch so their capabilities and talents and everything. But I think we're going to get there. I think the point will be, I think it's a very one, I think both for the group of families will be accepted. On the commissar of representation, I think I've dealt with that, especially of the 18 women and men, and not the 50-50 or even a pair. That is true. It's really a challenge. We do have men there, I think. But because we are serious about transformation, we have already indicated that from LFA level, local association level, to a region, now we have come up. Through that, we'll be able then to have leaders and then the last one, I think that all members started at the same position. I think, yes, in a way, that they must not same position, but they must follow where for where. Clause 3 on governance would say in all of them, because all their positions are subject to the same. So if they are always on fishing, they must send to SAFA, and SAFA must deal with the 9, and then you can go. That's how we take them. And then, Honorable B, about the different sizes. I want just to add one dimension, that you also defer that in the country, even the kids. Football was never supported previously, except once they had been in the we had on our own footballers by SMB. That was the only. The other top four federations, they had their own supported, of course, but I mean, whatever they did in it, but they were better off than us. But due to the fact that we're going to hold the FIFA World Cup in 2010, we felt when we discussed with the ministry and the government that, no, let us therefore take that only last asset that we had, definitely. Honestly, I understand that after that, then we are going to meet and have the position of South Africa was doing that even all these people are were constructed. Staff of football must have a seat. But as you speak, we don't have none. We must beg and we must take him. But fortunately, we have decided no, let us engage the government. We have actually taken the matter before the president, so the head of government, so that this government can be served. Fortunately, the matter of course is also very much in the hope that matter is the Thank you very much. There's another question of intervening in the local, unlike in the, I think that was the question, but thank you very much. Yes, if there is any other thing that's happening in any region, for example, I think the case in point was in Cape Town, I think 2 years ago, where there were problems here. Developers of football are not going anywhere. We had to intervene in terms of sub-organization. There's no one going to intervene, and then we put an administrator with a grand minister and put it right and then hand it over them after some time. Same with local association. If there's anything that is going on there that we feel is a detrimental to the development of football, we can intervene with a good help. Because one people are really encouraged to support the land there.
Chair, just a few things to wrap up, I think, from my side, outstanding. On the screen, you'll see an outline of the database, and it's actually much more. It is the most advanced football administration system in the world. It's been developed by the German Football Association. It's a football equivalent to a SAP system, in the sense that it is a comprehensive system that covers everything that you see there. In terms of our relationship with the German Football Association, we get this whole system license free from them. We're about to sign with them now on the implementation. There's still quite a big implementation cost that people will help us with as well. But we're very excited about this because, Honourable Cora, as you said, until we have a database where we can track every player from the earliest age, it will deal with age cheating, it will deal with allocating coaches into the right place, the right time, etc. Reporting the matches. Can you imagine if we have our 80,000 matches that are played every weekend, that those results are uploaded by an SMS or a telephone into the system so that people at their regions, at the LFAs, under 12, can go and see the results there, who scored, what the disciplinaries are, and we will then create this community of football that we think will take us to a completely different level. On the FIFA investigation, I think there's just two issues there. I must make it clear, to Honourable Lee, FIFA, these corrupt people were not involved in setting up any of the matches. They did not, were not involved with that. It was about the supply of referees. And it seemed such a wonderful thing. You know, they will offer us referees, give us international experience, bring these at their cost, and then they will take our referees to give them international experience. Sounds good. Was too good to be true, because then they brought in corrupt referees who fixed the matches. So that's really, we were in that sense conned by these very, very sophisticated people. It happened around the world, not just here. And that's where we are. That's the investigation that's taking place. And of course, in that process, our officials met with them, because they came with good credentials. They bought FIFA referees, but they were bad apples. In terms of the, I think, very important question, thank you, by the way, for the positive affirmation. We are excited about what we're doing, and we're glad that you have affirmed that as the President, that you are our mirror. To the Honourable McKenzie, this is a medium to long-term plan. We will not see results for 5 to 10 years. It's a 10-year plan. We've said to get our 150,000 coaches by year 2022. And therefore, that means we must start training to get from there to there. We've got to run these 400 courses a year to get to that figure by 2022. That was to Honourable Sindani. However, we have also got a separate parallel strategic process underway where we're saying, you know, we can't wait for them. We have a number of immediate things that we need fixing. Bafana must do well at the African Cup of Nations. We must qualify for the World Cup. We must deliver tangible benefits down to regions and within the next 18 months. So we have a parallel strategic process with members of the NEC and members of the administration to say and to set some very specific tangible deliverables for the next 18 months. And we are working on that in parallel. On the talent identification, Yes, that it's no good identifying the talent and resources honourable Sundani without having a competition framework in place. And that would include school sports. So this is where we start seeing the overlap with the minister's initiative. The money investing in school sports, we say that's great, because if there can be organized leagues at school sports, players, our players, will need to play both their match with the school on the Wednesday and a club match on the weekend. Then they're getting their two matches a week. Then they're starting to get their 10,000 hours under their belt. But we have to make sure that that initiative does not lead to a separate structure that thinks it has its own way of operating. The South African School Football Association is part of us. It's one of the associate members. But quite clearly, we need to have a closer relationship with them to ensure that it doesn't become autonomous or independent and start undermining the governance of football overall. I think that sir, has answered all of the questions that we had on our list. There was the one specific one about the Western Cape. I'm not sure if our member from the Western Cape about the velodrome in Belleville has any answer to that. If he does, if not, but he's not from Cape Town, so I don't think he will. But thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Sorry, Chair. One question that I think is the whole issue of explaining the appreciation member. Yes. Thank you. The associate members are listed quite well. Whoever it is, they include mental issues, they include university football, sports, sports, and they include coaching. In other words, these are the organizations that participate in football. You may find that sometimes football is micro. They are only a component of football. Then they associate with us. In other words, we must have a relationship. That is why it is a school league. The other that they must be an associate at that level. Will be able to know at the local level that no, this week of the school runs from this month until this month, and then we'll be able then to have our own league so that we don't have conflict in that league. So it started at the local level, regional level, provincial level, and the national level. We appreciate that part. So, and again, because they are not fully fed members, of course, they don't have fully fed members. In the body that the building comes very well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Maybe just to complete all the questions, there was a question on the women involvement. Where are the women coaches? At this point in time, at national level, the under 20 women's team is coached by Ms. Shirin Robert. Of course, we have always been all out to try and make sure that we do help them. And the under 17 girls, the assistant coach is a woman. And of course, with time, we believe we'll get there. And we had a number of women that also participated in our first level 3 coaching course, which was the first of its kind in the country, which is which they end up receiving a B license on coaching. And of course, with time, we believe a number of them will come into the fold. And perhaps the last point I should mention is there was an issue mentioned about people not going to watch our games on the ground because of the good games they are watching on TV, DSTV. I'm told the continent has been colonized again, and seriously so. And this time, in a very subtle way, through entertainment. Our kids do not know our own players. If you ask them, who's your best player? Is Lionel Messi? Ronaldo? And these are our own kids. And unfortunately, we are not realizing it. But I know the time we wake up, it might be too late.
I'm told in Nigeria, when Arsenal is played, they go and paint a live cow with the colors of Nigeria. I mean of Arsenal.
Yes.
Just to show, they say the streets come to a stop. They can't go and watch even the national team playing when Arsenal is playing. That's where we are as a continent. Mm-hmm. A great challenge. It looks exciting when we can. It's 24 hours, by the way. You can watch football throughout while eating and turning the channel. We are in big trouble. Of course, business is business, taking advantage. Go to the UK when the games are playing and you check in the channel. You won't see those football games. Something to think about.
Oh. Okay, no, there was some shame from that. Anything that we can say?
Yeah, Honorable Chair, and the Honorable members of the committee, this is a very short one. Again, it comes back to the challenge that we face, you know, in terms of facilities, you know, in our country, because the issue in the Western Cape. But in short, as a province, because we've got what we call a provincial council of which the chair, you know, not being officially advised of the government of the centre. But I must say that we've heard, you know, that something that's obviously in the pipeline. But it's going to be very concerning indeed, because that's where our provincial team, you know, even our regional teams are preparing themselves, you know, for football. As you know, currently we've got a very strong team in our football. And it's just recently did so well against the qualifiers where they won, you know, and they are now preparing this weekend again, you know, to play the second round, you know. And so yes, it's going to be a challenge to us in the province not to have such facilities, but we hope that with the other facilities available out there, you know, we'll be able to access them. But it's always a challenge to access these kind of facilities, you know, wherever we need to. So, but we hope that with the help of the department, we'll be able to, you know, to get another facility in the event that that is realized. So, but my plea is that really, you know, we spoke earlier on about municipalities to come on board. It's a challenge, but I think with the community's help, you know, especially at the level of government, I think this should be emphasized at that level, you know, the question of facilities. And also the fees that are sometimes you find facilities, but the fees that are being asked, you are actually being told not to make use of these kind of facilities. The technical challenge, particularly in our township, in our footballers. So that is as far as that particular question is concerned.
That's fine. We just 4 hours around here from time to time we link up with you. And I remember that the story is many of the questions. And also that for that problem. It's just important the president that member will have been with their provincial association. The point that we have made is that there will be no harm for me to wake up one morning go to reporting in Naba ever catching one sister. Because I'm left to volunteer our time, I don't think it's because of that I don't know. He just wanted the time because money is some of the problem anyway that cost time money. And but I think the point that you are raising, I think it's a correct one for the institution. And I think because nobody around also you can be able to share that information. In terms of the location, what would be easy for a member of parliament who is in the constituency part. If the local authority is a problem for a member of parliament to join there, they won't be able to open the church to create them to allow them to drive. If you are in there, if you are in that place, then I think then we can coordinate ourselves with the church. Then we can do that. That's a part of the rule we are having now. The court is gone forever. They have to make sure that God is coming in the middle of the town. And, but I just tell that what is very important is that we want to allow people to take us to the school. We want to see the people that we want to come through, so that you come back with the one day of putting up to the president and the family, then show that you come back with the whereas another action is that I have the preparation of our partner. I think we can do that. As we are aware that it is for some reason, there is a lot of contestation now. But I feel like that's why a lot of people there. And it's important that we organize this thing very well. And then it should be the best organizer. We shouldn't take a view that because you only organize World Cup very well, anything that you see comes, they can take whatever you want, because it becomes very important. The World Cup organization of World Cup, they also have in the 21st, 2015. And we talk about the recolonization. I never taken that back. I know that many people talk about Germany. I don't think they know who's there for friendship, the forum friendship. I don't think they know. No, it's important that mother said, that our interiority is there. Then we should have a discussion about some of these issues and see how to do it. And I should say that they're in national level. Even the national team can't go to the national. It's a bigger problem. Because it's more a thing, but it impacts negatively in terms of how we see our life. General, okay. But I think we'll work on that because what you want us to do with your teaching. And we thought that you did have to pay $7 million, right? And then how do you tell us about it? No.
I can first defer to my chair of the board, then
thank you, Chair. Just to indicate to the members that in line with the Zappa Constitution Commission and the statement, we have to call moving up events that were present. And before we were granted this privilege, we had to be able to call governments as well as Bangkok. And we had support from both our minister of court as well as South Korea. And because we actually made a bid for 2017, you know, and due to political upheaval in Libya, because Libya was already granted 2016. We then met with our counterparts in Libya and we left our president, and then we agreed that this has been changed because we presently hope that to take over the country in 2010, obviously it is good for us to be able to go with 2015. And that has been which I think our previously also highlight in terms of organized what we can now. That's why everything cannot be done as we have liked because of that in terms of the case. And what actually happened then, after they decided to constitute the National Executive Committee, in fact, the Executive Committee, which is the Management Committee of SAFA, which said that the President was tasked to continue with the preparatory work chaired by the President. And with that task was done very well, and then until the 31st of March, that is when then the National Executive Committee then resolved that no, there is a legal entity on its own, which is 100% owned by SAFA. Nobody else. There is a company that is, and with the CEO and the board of directors. And we had agreed that the board of directors should not be more than 25. And in line with what went well in the 2010, from the SAFA government as well as civic society. So we followed that same format, and at the present moment there was about 14 directors, board of directors, and with the CEO, and we've already earmarked that the government must actually tell us, the government has already informed us that there will be a coming 7. And then we're now with government concerning the other number, which must be business as well as labor. And all in all, therefore, Chair, is that we do have that structure. And we're whatever it is that we have part of the question, we can have been given 9 out of 10 by people, you know, people are well up to 10. And with that, to have that the board that we can ill afford any mark less than that. Particularly for the reason that you have quoted that today. That is why it is really incredible to have support both of staff of the 100% shareholder as well as the government that actually has provided guarantees. Now we're really now on an action mode, in other words, so that the city can now really work. And our CEO and both of them, there was a new, we could not hope for any other person other than him to be able to try this, because we're for the only question of days, not months, so that's not concerned. So early next year, we'll have to go. And then tell you that there will be 12 in here already. And the question of me also, thank you very much. That with us this morning about the need and the need to do it. So all in all, thank you very much. I'll hand over to him, and we will be able, all of us, to have some responses to the board, composed of all the members of the management committee. Some of them are also part, who are in the board committee, are also part of the board of the board.
Thank you, Chair. I think that you laid it well for me in that you said to talk about that you need to make sure that this World Cup is delivered no less than what was delivered for this Africa Cup of Nations. And Chair, because I always want to remind people, both Africa Cup of Nations in 2013 and Chair in 2014 is delivered of no less than what the World Cup. And as such, the way of positioning the two events is about celebrating football and celebrating Africa. That is our theme that's going to run through up until 2015. Our key strategies, in fact, one, I think that we need to use this event to thank Africa for the FIFA World Cup. I think, Chair, you know that there's always been this issue that perhaps we have not done that adequately. And the way we explain this is that the World Cup was Africa hosting the world. In our culture, when you're hosting a community, don't worry yourself as a family. You organize it well, and then you'll have afterwards your own party. We always say this is Zodinthorpe in our culture. So I think this is our time in Zodinthorpe. But it does not mean you organize it less. The quality of the food, the quality of the sheep, the quality of Mkombut is not different. Perhaps even better. Well, they're not growing for the whole community, they're growing for ourselves only. So that is our way of putting this. And that's why we've appealed all the time that when you ask for contributions or asking for this, or asking to the community, so whether we're talking to host cities or talking to government or the business sector, well, I think let's not look at the World Cup, let's look at it's our own party. How can all of us contribute to make this party a success? And the theme for AFCON is celebration of African football, and then CHAN was the last event will be about thanking Africa and thanking CAF, and fortunately for us, it also coincides with 20 years of South Africa's freedom and democracy, and that perhaps Sport and Rec Committee, we should be the first one that says, let's kick off the celebrations of 20 years of democracy with a sporting event more than anything else. So I think that us, that's our position with this event. Our objectives, we have talked about the seamless high-quality event that we're accustomed to, to position SAFA locally, and I think you've heard already what SAFA is doing. We need to get the nation coming behind the events. We need to enhance the football brand in Africa in general and South Africa in particular. I think the point that you've just raised about Arsenal, we think that this is one opportunity that African football has got a chance to reposition itself, where South Africa can make that contribution. We say, as we speak today, if you talk to many people, especially those who can afford what I call the BEs and all the 11 people are money. They are all preparing their tickets to go to the Euro. But you hardly ever heard them talk about going to AFCON in Equatorial Guinea and Gabon. But everybody is buying their Euro. They can tell you where the next Euro is going to be held, but they don't know where the next China is going to be held. So perhaps let's use this now to make sure that out of here we can all say we're all going to Morocco as the next destination for African football. In terms of what is our critical success factors, which again will help everybody, obviously the world is going to look at us and say, when those Africans have organized their own party, they do not pitch up for their own party. It's the full stadiums, full stadiums, full stadiums. I think it's incumbent on all of us to make sure that we full stadiums. This question has been thrown at us more than time by the media. I said, we as South Africans, in majority, filled the World Cup stadium. We did not ask North Korea is playing who, and said, I won't buy a ticket because England is not playing. But we just said, I am going to go and buy a ticket because there's a game in Bombela, there's a game in South Africa, the World Cup. Let's inculcate that culture for here as well. Let's forget about who's playing. Let's make sure that I'll buy a ticket because the event is held in my own city, and I'm going to go and see the figure. Obviously, we know, I think I'm not putting pressure on Robin and the president. The performance and public support for Bafana Bafana in 2014 and 2013 trend, of course, and then 2014 trend is critical. I think the other thing, I'm not going to highlight all the issues. One other thing is that we are taking this as one platform. AFCON and CHEM are taking them as one continuous project, so that in all our marketing and branding, we're talking about this issue. And I'm going to come back to this issue of CHEM, because there is this perception that CHEM is AFCON. It's not, CHEM is not AFCON. CHEM is a very important tournament. If you look at the teams that participate in CHEM, there are two important things I want to highlight about it. Egypt has always won the Africa Cup of Nations, with all its players coming from their local leagues. Bafana Bafana, if I look at the last count, 60% of its team come from the local leagues. So I can go on and on and on and on. So CHEN is constituted by at least 6 or 7% of players that participate in AFCON will be the same players that participate in CHEN. But CHEN 2014 is more important than the four teams that have qualified for the World Cup will use CHEN as their last preparation platform to go to the World Cup. So I think it's very important. Just like AFCON, whoever wins AFCON also is going to the Confederation Cup. So these three events for South Africa, I think, to me, are very critical, because they also revolve around the World Cup. And I think it's important not to make that point. Obviously, I think for us, we recognize that time and resources are limited. And obviously, we're going to be begging and knocking at all doors to ask for this support in terms of the Minister of Sport, the host provinces and host cities, to assist us to deliver on this issue. I think that for us, how are we going to make sure on this? We must create better touch points in terms of everyone who wants to participate in terms of languages and culture to be involved in making sure that is in here. One other aspect about what we want to make sure that insofar as Africa Cup of Nations and CHEN is concerned, is to deal with the issue, hope I'm not raising the wrong issues, but I'm sure in Parliament I'm free to raise these issues, is that there is a perception that South Africa does not see itself as part of Africa. I think that let's, as South Africa, create, use this platform of AFCON to make sure that we demystify this notion. And I think that one of the things that we're going to do from an AFCON perspective is to try and mobilize ambassadors and high commission on a consistent basis to deal with issues of xenophobia and how they can assist us to deal with that issue. The other issue is the targeted communication for African diaspora in South Africa. I think it's critical for us to do that from an AFCON perspective with your assistance. Because no matter how much money we can put into marketing these events in the African continent, if someone who's sitting in Bloemfontein or sitting in Etobicoke says, yeah, I don't suggest you come here, no matter how much you can market, that is going to be good, they won't come. You need to get these African people that are in South Africa saying to their counterparts, don't miss this party, it's going to be a great party. Then you're going to get a lot of diaspora coming in here. Governance structures, I'm just going to deal with that. CAP is the owners of the event. They've established a CAP organizing committee. SAFA has established a company which is a non-profit company, controlled by the media. It's the non-profit company that is in there. And that is the company that I work for. This is the structure for FIFA. This is the structure for AFCON, which is headed by a board. And then the CEO and the team. I'm not going to go through this in detail in terms of the obligations we've got in terms of care. We're just giving you what our obligations and LOC we do have. That runs from the staging cost, which we're 100% responsible for, and the hosting cost, for example, the issue of accommodation, which has come in terms of the host cities. The reality that care is different from the FIFA. FIFA wrote the LOC a check and said, here is money, go and organize the World Cup. Equally, at the same time, all the teams that came here, he gave them money to go and book themselves in the hotels they want. CAFTA does not work like that. You as the local organizing committee pay for the accommodation of the teams when they are here. You pay for their transportation from their home base to here. Hence, we then said, cities, we want to put these teams in your city. It's our cost, we understand the LOC, but in the spirit of making sure that we all contribute, we're asking you to contribute in hosting the teams in your city. At the end of the day, you will be the primary beneficiaries of tourism in your city if we're putting four teams in there. So I'm not going to go through these obligations. I think we can take questions on it. And in terms of the cost of mobilizing resources, we expect that this is going to cost about 100 million rands to the LOC, plus about another 80 to 90 million rands to the host city. So you're talking about a budget of close to 400 million to really run this at the level that we expect it to be run at. In terms of per contribution, as I said, the guaranteed per contribution is going to be about 4 million. Obviously, we must try the LOC find money out of ticketing, in terms of merchandising, and in terms of some commercial agreements, in terms of supporters. It's not the Soccer World Cup. Commercial opportunities are very limited. For us, it's driving the ticketing revenue. We have said to the host cities, we'll give you 25% of tickets that are in your stadium, that at least there's an incentive for the cities to come back. There's a potential for us to look at hospitality and then limited national supporters. What is our top air? For what we use, the top air. Full stadiums, full stadiums, full stadiums. For us, at least 500,000 tickets must be sold to make sure that we are getting to that. That is what we need to do. I think that for us, first and foremost, to make sure that the tickets are sold, it's a secure but accessible and affordable ticket. We need to make sure that our tickets are affordable, they are secure, but easily available. And I know that sometimes the security guys will fight. We want to make sure that the pilot security features, but we need also to make sure that it's easy for me to go and buy a ticket, and as well as affordable, because affordability is not just the ticket price, we must take it to community. Someone must buy it, must get into a taxi, or into a bus, or into a train to the stadium. Because most of the games, especially in the early stages, the double headers, they'll be spending 5 to 6 hours, which by the way is positive, is that for the price of one ticket, you watch two games. You'd be able to sit there for 6 hours. So people are going to buy food in the stadium. So any concern ticket price, you must look at that. The choice of venue will inform us. Where it is possible, we need to try and make sure that we can match the team placement with the diaspora profile around the issues. I think one of the other areas we've said that we need to look at with the Ministry of Arts and Culture is the promise of an entire unique matrix pay experience. We've said to them, look, perhaps this is an opportunity for us to showcase talent. If there is a match in Bombela, why not, between the two games, both people are sitting there, showcase the local talent. Let's have a musician, let's have a coach. So there's an excitement. I mean, there's a concept that has come about now, which we're looking at. Let's create outside in the stadium, but outside the actual arena, a children's corner. We know in the World Cup, many parents are complaining about this issue. What do I want to go to the World Cup, but what do I do with my kids? They'll be bored to sit there for 3 or 4 hours. Is there a place where they can go and play and enjoy themselves? So it's all these things that we must look at as we prepare for the Africa Cup of Nations. The guarantees from government, I think they are not different from the World Cup in terms of what to expect, the health and medical services, atmospheres, in terms of threats, VIP services, visas, and borders. We know that this is also going to be where people are going to be watching. Is South Africa going to be as freely accessible as it was in the World Cup, or is it going to be us claiming down now that was African Cup of Nations? We're not going to provide the same things. And I think that by and large, in terms of government, we've received very positive response from making sure that they want to have to make sure that the experience of the World Cup is replicated here. Some of the things that we're suggesting, that which is outside government guarantees, for example, educational programs, schools to adopt one of the four teams in your city. Let's look at that. Let's start speaking to the Department of Education saying, if the teams in the FAB in Nigeria or Gabon and so on, schools in that area be taught where is Gabon, what is about Gabon and so on. That's what we did with the World Cup. In terms of social responsibility, let's look at the issue of green games, the issue of child welfare, let's look at the issue of xenophobia around this panel issue. The tournament itself, I'm going through as quickly as possible. The tournament affairs, unlike the World Cup, it's 15 teams. It's the 19th of January, we now know that. It's now fixed. We'll be talking about 32 matches, 24 group stage matches, eight knockout matches, and then there will be 17 match days. And I think that's a very important thing about the 17 match days, 24 match times, because it then limits the number of games. Unlike the World Cup, played one game in each stadium. Here you are playing two games in each stadium, which only tells you for 24. For you to really give effect to the cities for the investment you expect, you must give them a minimum of 4 games in the stadium. Which already are telling you, though CAP allows you 4 to 7 games, 4 to 7 stadiums, it already told you that the optimum number of cities you could choose is between 4 to 5. You can't really go beyond that in terms of that. But also the advantage is that, unlike FIFA, we have 2 games in 2 different cities, on the day of that game, when you have 2 matches, that city becomes the hero, both locally, internationally, in terms of global audiences. You're not mixing anything, it's you as a city that you can market yourself around that final tournament. The final draw is now going to be fixed today, the 26th of October. We're still going to decide where it's going to go. Chair, bidding process was, this is where the issue came about the OCP. Up front, we've said that we are looking for a minimum of 4, but obviously we knew that the maximum is 5. We then said we want to place 4 teams in a particular city, so that city that hosts the 4 teams can build intimacy with the fans, can have a directed marketing tourism to those 4 countries that are based in its city. And I think that to me was the most critical point around this one. Because one of the complaints from the World Cup is that a city was not guaranteed. There was no guarantee that a team is going to come to your city. Here we're guaranteeing that 4 teams will be based there. And hence the issue was, we're then asking you to pay for the accommodation of the 4 teams that are in there. We began with the process on the 30th of March, where we had an in-depth briefing of the 8 cities. Because one of the things that was taken was that for other Cup of Nations, we're going to use the same stadium that we used in the World Cup matches, so that we can show that it's in there. But those cities that will fall off from the park will then be given the chance, though we'll not necessarily use them. But on top of which, we said, as FAFA, before even Cabinet made that recommendation, we said, as a principle, Kimbali was left out of the World Cup. It is now being left out of Africa Cup of Nations. For Chan, it is number 1 on the list. Everyone else will be number 2, 3, 4, whatever the decision is taken. So that is not taken up front in terms of Kimbali in that regard. We then gave them a set of tournament requirements. On the 19th, we gave them a template they must fill, and then they came back on the 26th of March to make a presentation. There were 2 panels that they were presenting to. Obviously, we were sitting in one room. It was a panel of the board, which was the evaluation panel. I'm going to come back to the criteria the board was using, and a technical panel of about 13 members, which were evaluating the technical specifications where they meet the minimum technical specifications. Insofar as that is concerned, the process was like this check. As we sit here, we appointed Edward Nathan Sonnenberg, the attorneys, to be the transaction advisors, to supervise that the process is fair and transparent. You had your score, which I'm going to show you, a scoring sheet. You literally had, before we give the talk, after each speech presented, you had to score, they took your score away. So I could not influence the colleague next to me to say, hey, I'm thinking about this, about Cape Town, I'm thinking about this, about this, they mean. You had to score, and they took it. So whatever discussion we had was an immaterial discussion post each citizen's presentation. So what were we looking for in terms of the evaluation panel? Here were the criteria that we're looking for in terms of that. The first one, which was the most important one, was the city and the provinces are believed to fill the stadium during football games. We asked each city to say, give us the average of your last PSL games or Bafana games in your stadium. Then tell us, based on that average, how do you intend to mobilize your province or your city to fill the stadium? Because you know that the majority of people that are going to the stadium will come from your city. So that's what we're looking for. What are the ideas that the cities put in front of us? The second one was the issue of cost. Obviously, most cities have made an interest in November last year. They wrote to staff and said, we're interested to support our cost. So I wanted to see, since you have made an expression of interest already in November, what were your cost preparations as you are preparing your budgets for next year? Have you thought about this interest and so on and so on? Irrespective whether the amount is 5 million or 2 million,
But what is it that you thought is going to assistance for us hosting of this tournament? What are the legacy benefits you are developing for yourself, not in terms of infrastructure, because you don't expect people to use new infrastructure. But, for example, did you apply your mind to say the training venue that they are looking for is a good pitch, standard pitch, with a dressing room? Have you thought that I will go into a township, look at the pitches there, upgrade the pitch itself, and refurbish the dressing room, which is not really cost exercise, as distinct from taking what is already ready made without creating that connection. The accessibility of your city in terms of what is your plans of a city? You know that in majority the people that are going to come in here will be African spectators. What have you prepared for them in terms of food, in terms of accommodation, entertainment in your city, and so on, so that they've got a good experience around your city so that you can then look at these issues and assess them accordingly. Lastly, we're looking at, we know that government and the state, through the State of the Nation address, had addressed what are the strategic objectives of government, and in your province you have put the strategic objectives of government as well as in your city. How does hosting AFCON or CHAN, in this sort of hosting AFCON, assist in the delivery of those government objectives? This was the score sheet, Chair, as you can see, like that, which we all of us asked to score. We looked at mobilization plan, how do you fill a stadium, that's 20%, your cost preparation, 15%, accessibility, how have you prepared your fence, 15%, current infrastructure, 15%, government requirements, 15%, and legacy benefits, 15%. This is what the evaluation panel of the board was looking at. The technical side, which is the other 13 people, were looking at the stadium itself in terms of each state. We knew that there should be very little difference here, because most of the stadiums were going to be relatively the same, because they were hosting the World Cup. So they evaluated your accreditation based on that. And based on that 26th of May, before perhaps I go to that, on the 26th of May, Edward Nathan Sonnenberg took the scorecards away from us. None of us knew what the ranking is. They took that away, it was locked up at Edward Nathan until the 1st of April, when the board was going to meet to look at the results. I met with Edward Nathan at about 3 o'clock to say, can I see the scores based on the 70% on the evaluation panel, 30%. They gave me the rating. I said, okay, fine. Can I see 50% between the two panels? The ranking was identical, irrespective of the way, whether you looked at the evaluation panel of the board and the technical of 50% being there. And this ranking was like this. So it is not true that we interfered. There was no interference, because that score was decided on the 26th, irrespective of whether we engaged with the city in the public afterwards, with conferring with opinion, or anything. There was no such a thing. Was you scored on that day, and that was the last time you saw the score. Even after that, I don't know how these other members in the panel scored. And because we're looking for the five, we then said the top five must be taken as the cities that we recommend to cabinet. Because we're saying, if you look at the top five, in addition to the criteria, they also balance inland and coastal venues that we can spread the tournament. They also balance between small and big cities. So that is how the ranking came. There was no issue of that one city was in particular or the other one was removed. That was just how the ranking came. If the ranking put Pulwan as number 3, that's what they recommended. It had nothing to do with who was in the city or who are the people that were in there. So, Chair, that was the issue of the host cities, so I'm not going to go through there. You know the cities for AFCON. Now, what are the facts and figures? There are 5 host cities, there are 5 stadiums, 21 training sites, 27 hotels that we utilized during AFCON. Of this, we expect about 9 LOC staff at head office. We expect the support staff that will be utilized by the various entities from ticketing. It's 9,000. These are people that are going to be employed during AFCON. This excludes CHAN. We expect close to 10,000 people to be employed as support staff. The venue staffing from the LOC is going to be 990 people again. Volunteers, we expect 2,500 volunteers. 3,000 students that will be employed. Study security, about 2,000 in 10, 30, and community safe stewards, about 1,000. So you can see that they are talking about 17,000 to 18,000 people
that will have jobs benefiting out of AFCON. We expect a similar number for CHAN. Timelines, I'm not going to bore you with that. That we have got strict timelines, obviously, as the chair said, we really have out of time because we've got the race 6 months left before the kickoff. Now, again, these are the estimated contributions. This is not what government has said they will do. This is what we have submitted to government as our request to support AFCON. There's no AFCON in most, all AFCONs, in fact, are government projects. Government funds the AFCON. Obviously, we're trying to see whether we cannot raise funds ourselves. So the first column is the amount requested, the actual cost that is going to cost us. You can see, for example, there, of the amount requested, it's 2 million rand. The actual cost is 85, which means the LOC or SAFA itself is going to try and raise 33 million rand to bridge the gap. We've also asked extra support to make sure that we've got a good and open closing ceremony, that we can do the proper dressing, as well as whether we can also afford young people internships, as well as further training around with higher education. In terms of positives, contrary to the issues that have been raised, all we've requested the OCs to help us to contribute with team accommodation, and you can see the amount in there. We've asked them to pay for the security in their own stadium, which is what they normally, all these things are what they normally do today when they host Bafana Bafana game, or they host the Vodacom Challenge, any of these big events they attract to their cities. They pay for these events. I think Chai arrived when I was talking about the host city. So the amount you've requested there, the line items you've requested there, are things that they would normally pay if they're hosting a Bafana Bafana game today. Yes, because the event is big and it's over 3 weeks, it comes to, for the total for the host cities comes to 85 million. If you break it down to the host cities, comes to about 21 million. But of that 85 million, the total amount on those line items is 142, which means the LOC is still contributing close to 60 million rands onto those line items. So it's not as if we've just asked the whole amount from the whole cities. We are meeting them halfway to try and see how we can assist in this regard. CHAN 2014, as I said, it's coming in 2014. We select players who play in the football in all domestic competitions. It follows a similar format as the African Cup of Nations. It's going to be played in January. We're looking for smaller stadiums. We're not going to go for the World Cup stadiums. We're looking for 15,000 stadiums. We're saying this up front. So that again, we don't get into a fight with people who say, why are you not using this stadium that was built for the World Cup? CHAN, we're looking for a smaller stadium, more intimacy. So when we come to Cape Town, we'll be looking at that issue. When we go to Mangaung, we'll be looking at that issue. When we go to Polokwane, we'll be looking at that issue. Obviously, Kimberley, we left to engage because no World Cup stadium was built in Kimberley. So I think all of us need to rally around Kimberley to see whether it cannot be assisted to make sure that they can be given a good stadium as a legacy out of this one. Thank you, Chair. I tried to rush because...
Well, you did well. Summarize the very important document that we Honourable Member, this is a presentation ready for 2013 and 2014. And the criteria is in an item in order that we do that. And the Father is a successful institute. Their program that we present is a very critical program. I think the Department of Art and Culture was very important in this area. So we know this one. If we hold Capon and in Cape Town, and they show the community of Capon and Cape Town do not enjoy that. I shall have them as a lot of the people. That is good. And I was just saying that because we know that by June this year, in terms of the political for our continent, we have more for us. Therefore, this half cost is the assisting as a person for people, and then we have been allowing everything for us to do. And therefore, it's important for us to bring together the sentiment that we are not. We are not very nice, I think, in terms of the country. We are partly African, partly because we are very kind of South Korea. And the information to assist us to prepare for no apparatus. I said that the whole South African community has to prepare their own community. And then that we will have some rotation plan. So I hope no one is going to be safe. Italy is at that stage. The European. Of course, not completely affair. But if we can't sell ourselves, surely people have a right to switch off. They can switch off to go to Athens and game from Manchester City, you know, to the football team. I didn't even know that it was that game, but it seems to be Russian game. But not the Cosmos and the staff. The bigger problem that you're facing. I'm not sure what was happening, but it was because I think we'll address it because we can't know for this. There's something that we must do ourselves. I think Bob is very smart. We must do ourselves. We take some time. There's no reason that we can't do it. Part of the effect. And at that point, we can do another perception. We want to raise all the issues. Hopefully, President, when we invite you next time, I think we can have a discussion. A lot of people really want to protest, you know, great money, who are multi-millionaires, because sport is becoming a different activity. And then those of you who are running sport are hooked up to raise the money, and then with good effort, in terms of the good target and the sport. We know that when there's more money, there will be a lot of problems. And therefore, but I think we are professional, so we are able to do that. So we hope you will be able to make us proud. Maybe what is important is to see the latest thing. That's close your eyes. And then my point by implanting the structure. And we are really very pleased that we are raising some of the issues. And I think the problem that we're raising, and I think that we're actually making the community. It's a very simple, very simple problem. And we think that all of us, and of also I ended up working for the Supreme Court. Because we are worried about the Supreme Court. This is a disjointed process. One has to take in terms of talent identification and also working. We hope that the end will train other people of the matter association. That's what really we think is very important for us. From, and certain things that we have to do is to be a star and to be a person to be a person to be a person to not be a person to be a star to be a person 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 that we are raising in the fund, and sometimes we have also to count. I think the main enemy is that we don't have to count. It's not with the democratic hand, I don't think it's wrong for us to do it. Very difficult for us to do by all of this. This fund, I think the democratic hand should be compromised in terms of commission. I think we're going to work it out as president. And of course, we also have our own oversight with the aid of the fourth grade. And then we really appreciate if we can bring the additional structure that will go and see these artificials. Because our experience is that we are put under the bridge at first of the country. Then we go there. Where is the bridge? There's no bridge except for the money, but there's no bridge at all. There's one truck, no bridge. And then it's important for us, that's why oversight funding is important. But of course, we are doing this thing really not as police. We are not police. We are doing this thing because all of us are interested in development of sports. And so then I think the information we make available for us, and then so that we will be able to really just in case. We want to see the rural part of our country not to have to then these are the bigger areas they get to point at the moment. He is really the leadership there to assist us with this. We are also to be undertaking a talk to Argentina. Hopefully we are going to see next. Going there also to learn their around the system. And hopefully that they will be coming to the next day. And we have that issue. And that's in the last year. And we can have the time that we have the issue. I think it's going to be for the country. You don't know what you're doing. important and assist us to who demanded that all of the organization and then as a result of that we rely on the resources to assist us to do nothing in the I do think that the board can hold that for other than say the government can understand a lot. That's what I have to say. Thank you very much.